I'm probably her worst nightmare in that she's been in my OSL classes, and I make it my mission, because she's so quiet, to bring her out, you know. And so I'm always tormenting her, but it's with love, because I know this about her. How old are you now?
20.
20 years old. She might be 20, but she is wise beyond her years. You should hear her speak, and that's why I try to draw her out. I mean, and she's been this way since she was younger. And hanging around here. And so I would draw her out, because there's great wisdom. And then as quiet as she is and as reserved as she is, you should hear her preach. In Haiti, we're like, our mouths were hanging out. You know, we're like, who is this person? You know, what happened to Elsie? This, you know, this is like a mighty evangelist. You know, I'm like, what happened? But see, God knows what he has put in her. And so we love you. We think the world of you. In fact, my leaders, I've got amazing leaders in this place, and this is what the leaders have done. You know, usually every Christmas, we like to give leaders a little something, a little gift, as just a way of saying, you know, we appreciate what you do around here, right? And so this year, what the leaders decided to do was forego that and instead give that to you. So as a way of just blessing you. And as a church, at the end, when we, as part of our worship, give to the Lord, feel free to include something for Elsie also. Just, you know, put Elsie, you know. If you don't know how to spell her name, feel free to write L-C. we'll take that too, you know. But it's just a way of her knowing that you are behind her, right? That you're behind her. We are right now touching 5 different nations, I think. Maybe 6, I can't remember. But we're going to touch much more with her. Amen. We love you. Let's give her a little clap offering, a little clap. Yeah.
She raised all her own funds. I mean, meaning she worked for them. She didn't do a fundraising campaign. She just worked to raise the funds for this. So this is going to be an extra added blessing.
Well, the tuition for YWAM was $5,000, not counting supplies and visas and airline tickets.
So, and she earned it all, man. Yeah.
She's amazing.
Yeah, that's right.
we need a bunch more just like her. And that's all of you guys out there. Okay.
And she's only 20. My goodness. I tell you what. She's amazing. Well, let us just ask the Lord real quickly, the Lord's blessing. I've got a word for you that will change you. That's pretty high bar, huh? I've got a series for you. I'm beginning a new series today that if you are in tune, if you grasp the principles you're about to hear over the next few weeks, you will be changed. I mean, that's who else gives you that kind of a deal, right? Who else gives you that kind of a guarantee? But I'm going to give you that guarantee because it's based on the Word of God. And so it's He who changes you, not me. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come and we thank you for the Elsies. Lord, a little girl that you have changed, you have transformed, you have now assigned. And Lord, those that you call, you resource. Those that you call, you empower. Those that you call, you protect. And so, Lord, we come and we say, Lord, we forget what lies behind us. We forget our yesterdays. And today, Lord, we begin anew with you. We say, Lord, if I've said no to you 1,000 times, today is a new day. Today I say yes. I say yes to your ways instead of my ways. I say yes to your principle instead of my own wisdom and know-how. And so, Lord, open our eyes to see more clearly, our ears to hear more clearly. But more importantly, that our wills would be, as it were, reformed to conform to your will. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen, church. Amen. So you ready to be transformed? Yes. Good, 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 good. You can start by opening your Bible to Luke 6. We're going to get there eventually. But I'm starting a new series that I call The Blessed Life. Actually, I don't call it. It's based on a book by Robert Morris, same title. And it's an interesting book, and it's an interesting sermon series, because this, in the church, you hear that word used all the time, blessed. And who doesn't want to be blessed, right? We all want to be blessed. And we want to know, well, how do we get blessed? Right? How do we get blessed? There's got to be a way in which we position ourselves to be blessed. And that's really what this series is about. And it really starts with the what? The heart, right? It starts with the heart. That the Lord has to transform our hearts to get us to that place in which we are blessed. He has to start with our heart and make us really a people that are generous people. You see, sometimes we think blessing is all about getting. And it's not about getting. It's quite the opposite. And yet we preachers, we, you know, there's a whole, you know, whole group of preachers that preach it's about, you know, getting. And it's not about getting. In fact, it's quite the opposite. The Lord's trying to teach us something totally different. Instead, he wants to work on our heart and get us to the place in which we, in every aspect of our life, are a generous people. And then blessings are really a byproduct of living that way. Jesus said it this way in Luke 6:38. Jesus said, give, and you've heard this verse, but I'm going to tell you, you've never heard it the way you're going to hear it tonight. Give, and it will be given to you. In other words, give, and it's going to return to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom. In other words, more room's going to be made to get more. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Now, do you anywhere in that verse see the word money used? Right? You usually hear it in the context of money. But really, it doesn't mention money. In fact, if you read the verses ahead of it, it's quite totally different than the way you hear it preach. It talks about being generous, and it talks about being generous in the way you forgive others. Generous in forgiveness. Oh, no wonder people don't like to preach about that one, right? Someone's done you wrong, okay, forgive them generously. Oh, I don't like that preaching. It's about also being merciful to people, right? It's also about, you know, not judging people, right? It's also about not condemning people. That's what it's saying, you know, being generous. But it also includes, yeah, finances. It also includes resources. But I want you to understand that it's beyond that. The principles of being blessed, of multiplication, or all those kind of things have to do with much more than money. In fact, it's bigger than money. It's bigger than finances. To live a blessed life, to live a generous life, includes every aspect of your life, right? And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for that. In fact, Jesus said this. He says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So it does include finances, because usually our treasure is that thing that is most important to us. He says somehow there's a string attached to it. Wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. It's like this. How many of you... No, I don't want to say that. You don't have to raise your hand. How many of you don't own stock, right? You don't own stock. You don't have like $1 million of Intel stock, right? Now, if you do, I want to talk to you afterwards because, no. I want to get to know you. Not at all. Say you're like, you know what? I don't do stocks, right? So I would say your treasure is not in the stock market, so you kind of really don't care about the stock market. But what if you all of a sudden took this chunk of money that you've been saving up for a long time, and all of a sudden bought stocks? I tell you one thing you're going to do every morning. You're going to get up, and you're going to be, all of a sudden, stocks are important to you, right? Because that's where you put your treasure in. So that's what Jesus says. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So for me, I'm thinking, I want to put my treasure in the kingdom because I want to be concerned about the kingdom. That's what my leaders understood. That's why they took the treasure, the gifts that were going to be given to them, and they said, you know, we're going to give it to Elsie. We're going to invest in the kingdom, right? Now, because I've invested in Elsie, I'm going to be looking for Elsie's update. Elsie, I can't wait till I get the update from Elsie about the wonderful things that God has done. See, that's what Jesus is really talking about. And so we're going to look at Deuteronomy 15 this evening, and we're going to look at four things that really we need to deal with. And all those have to do with the heart, really. In order to be generous like Yahweh, once again, generous in all aspects. So here's the first one. Are you ready? So turn with me to Deuteronomy 15. Okay, Deuteronomy 15. That's Old Testament. Go in about five books, and you'll find Deuteronomy. In this portion of Scripture, it's kind of an interesting portion of Scripture. It's talking about how you treat someone that was a slave to you. Someone that has worked as a slave to you and under Torah, after they worked 7 years for you, when they worked 6 years, on the seventh year, you would set them free. And it really tells you on how you treat a slave that used to work for you, and now you really set him free. He doesn't owe you anything, but it tells you how to deal with him. And this really gives us an understanding of how the Lord wants us to be. So here's the first thing that we need to do, and that is that we deal with a selfish heart. How many would agree with me that we were born selfish, right? If you've had children, you know that we were born that way, right? My daughter's favorite word, my firstborn, her favorite word was mine. Mine, right? Mine. I mean, think about it. I mean, a kid will be, you know, Spory's little boy. I mean, I'm sure he's the exception. But you know, say he's got all these toys, and he's only been playing with these two toys, but since some other kid comes, and he starts playing with that toy, right? A toy he hasn't even touched. Then all of a sudden, he wants, that was the toy I was going to play with next. I mean, that's that kind of selfishness. Right? I know he's the exception, but he is. But, you know, that kind of stuff has been in us from the very beginning. And so we have to deal with a selfish heart in order to live a life of blessing. So here we go. Deuteronomy 15, verse 7. It says, if there is among you a poor man of your brethren. Once again, he's talking about those that have, because they were so poor, they sold themselves into slavery. But they've already served their time, their 6 years. With any of the gates of your land, which the Lord your God is giving you. Once again, who's giving this? The Lord is. He's a giver. You got to understand that about God. God's a giver, right? You shall not harden your heart. A better translation would be, don't be tight-fisted, right? Don't be tight-fisted toward that kind of person, toward a poor person. You know, a lot of times we think, well, they're just poor because stupid decisions, so I'm not going to give them anything. He's telling us, no, that's the wrong attitude. See, if you're going to have that attitude toward that guy, then what kind of attitude should God have toward you? Okay, all of a sudden I want to be generous, right? Because if I'm going to treat him the same way that ultimately God will treat me because that's the way I'm treating him, well, let's just change it around a little bit because I don't want to be treated that way. So he's trying to teach him something. Do not harden your heart nor shut your hand from the poor brother. Verse 8, but you shall open your hand how? Wide. We would say, man, open that wallet wide. It's like my leaders did with Elsie. You shall open your hand wide to him. You know, be generous and willingly lend to him sufficient for his need, whatever his needs. Beware. There's a warning. Beware lest there be a wicked thought in your heart. It's interesting. He's really describing selfishness as wickedness. Oh my God. That's how God views selfishness. Saying the seventh year, the year of release, talking about the year Jubilee, is at hand. What he's talking about is this. The way the Lord set up really the economy of Israel was this way, that every 7 years there would be a year of Jubilee in which all debts would be canceled. I like that, right? And so in all those that were slaves would be set free. And so, and the land would receive a Sabbath, meaning rest. So say you were a farmer, and most of them were farmers, you would farm the land for 6 years, and in the seventh year, you would leave the land dormant. Well, the next question, well, how am I going to eat in the seventh year? Right? That's a good question. Well, the Lord answers that. He says, in the 6 years, I'm going to give you enough for 3 years, more than enough. He's just got to trust me. The sad thing about, if you study the history of Israel, they never did that. They never trusted God to say, okay, Lord, we're going to do it your way. We're gonna farm the land for 6 years, and we're gonna trust that in 6 years you're gonna give us more than enough to carry us over, and we're gonna let the land rest. And they didn't do that, but that's what they were supposed to do. So if you were gonna buy land, or if you were gonna lend money, say I lend Daniel money, well, if I lend to him on the first year, well, I'm thinking, okay, he's got 6 years to pay me, right? And if he doesn't pay me, then whatever he owes me, I got to release on the seventh year. I got to say, Daniel, release you from the debt. But what he's saying is that, say you have a slave and he has a need, but you're saying, well, I don't want to lend him because we're coming up on the end of the 6 years, right? We got 6 months before all debts are canceled. Well, I don't want to lend him because what if he doesn't pay me back? He's saying, don't think that way. Don't think that way. Because that kind of way, that kind of thinking is what got Israel to the place where they didn't trust God to provide on the sixth year. And ultimately, that's why they went into captivity in Babylon for 70 years. Another good sermon that I could give you one day. Okay? So he says, don't be thinking that way. Don't be saying, well, I'll lend to him because I think he can pay me back. Don't even worry about that. He says, if he has a need, meet that need. Whether he pays you back or not, doesn't matter. So he says, beware lest unless there be a wicked thought or selfishness in your heart, saying the seventh year, the year of release, the year of Jubilee is at hand, and your eye be evil against your poor brother, and you give him nothing, and he cry out to the Lord against you, and it becomes sin among you. Once again, I got to be honest. I got to confess. Sometimes when I'm downtown, I have that hardness of heart toward people, right? I have hardness of heart. I'm like, I'm not going to give him any. He's a bum, right? Blew all his money, drugs and alcohol, you know. Now, do I want to give him money to go get drunk again? No. But why not get him a meal? Right? Why not get him some clothes? Why not get him some help? Right? But there becomes a hardness sometimes that you don't want to. You even see him like, get away from me. I mean, am I the only one? Maybe I just need to preach to myself. You know, I'm just going to preach to myself. We got saints in this church, man. You know, I must have heard the Lord wrong. This was for me. I thought it was for you, but no. So we have to deal with a selfish heart because that's kind of our default, right? We want to just hold on. We're hoarders. You know, how many of you like that program, Hoarders? It's kind of crazy that people live that way, right? But the reality is we're all hoarders. If I go to your garage, I'm going to say, man, you're a hoarder. Look at all the stuff you got. Can I get an amen? We don't even use that stuff, and we still have it. Right? Think about it. I mean, we store stuff in the attic. Why do we do that? Because we're hoarders. We're selfish. That's why we do that. I mean, think about it. We love Volkswagens, right? We love Volkswagens because they have big trunk. What are we going to do, like put bodies in there? I mean, you know, I could see the mafia driving Volkswagens because it might hurt you. It's just so we can cram more junk in there. That's why. But once again, so we first got to deal with a selfish heart. The Lord has to transform our heart. And part of that is the Lord saying, when you give, right, when you're generous, I begin to transform your heart. So don't close your heart to people and to needs, because that's what I'm going to use to transform you. And so the Lord says, the reward is going to come when you give. The reward is going to come when you take care of someone's need. So once again, it's interesting how he's talking to Israel. He's saying, I want you to be generous to even the slave, right? I want you to be generous. In fact, he even talks about how to take care of aliens in the land. It's pretty interesting, you know, in the context of even our nation. You know, we sometimes say, you know, kind of harsh words about aliens. Well, it's interesting what the Bible says about how you should take care of aliens. It's interesting. And the reason is, and we're going to read it a little bit, he said, don't forget you were an alien once, right? Maybe not you, maybe your grandparent was. Maybe your great-grandparents. Guess what? They were once aliens, right? They were once, you know. And so it's interesting the way the Lord deals with it. So first thing is we deal with a selfish heart. Here's the second thing. We deal with a grieving heart. Like, what's he talking about? We deal with a grieving heart. Look at verse 10. He says, you shall surely give to him, and your heart should not be grieved when you give to him. Because for this thing the Lord your God will bless you in all your works, and in all which you put your hand to. So he says, when you bless him, when you give to someone, don't regret it. Don't be grieved. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I gave my car away. Right? That's being grieved. He says, no, don't go there. He says, understand that if you are generous, I'm going to bless you. And bless, I'll give you a definition for bless. It's got several, but I'm going to give you the one that applies here. It's spelled like Brock, but it's bra. It means this, to cause to prosper. It has to do with abundance, and it really has to do with kind of breaking down obstacles to abundance or prosperity. See, we're sometimes, man, it just seems I can't get ahead. guess what? You need to be blessed. Lord said, because what we're saying is there something keeping me from getting ahead? Lord says, you develop a generous heart, right? The way I want you to arouse, and I will move those obstacles to you getting ahead. But he says, don't be grieved. Don't be grieved. You know, sometimes it's interesting for those of us that give, sometimes you know, selfishness attacks you when you want to give something. You're like, you're blessed and you want to give, and all of a sudden you want to be selfish. You're like, well, man, I've got this money in my pocket. I can have a lot of fun with this money in my pocket. And yet we hear the Holy Spirit saying, give, right? But then when we give, then really we can be grieved. That's what attacks us, where we regret. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I gave that much away. Right? Can't believe it. You know, it's funny. We're talking to people just the other day, and they were talking about, you know, almost winning the lottery or whatever. And I've talked to enough people where they you know, they say, okay, Lord, if I win the lottery, Lord, I'll give you 20%, right? Well, that means they get to keep 80. But I think sometimes there's you know, Lord, if I win the lottery, I'll give you 80%. And then they start doing the numbers. Well, no, Lord, if I win the lottery, I'll give you 60%. And then they do the numbers again. No, Lord, if I win the lottery, I'll give you 40%. I mean, it's kind of interesting. And really, it's almost a grieving heart before it's even given. But the reason we grieve, the reason we sometimes regret is because we don't have the correct perspective. See, we think we've given something away that belonged to us. But you see, the correct perspective is it all belongs to God. Right? We didn't give anything away. I've never given anything that was mine because it all belongs to Him. I'm giving His stuff away. It's like this. How many of you have a nice watch? How many would have? You'd say, man, I got a nice watch. Maybe it's nice because somebody gave it to you, or a gift, or it's an heirloom. How many would say, I got a nice watch? Okay, good. It's okay to have a nice stuff. Don't be like, oh, I don't want to. It's okay to have nice stuff. No wrong. Well, in a little bit, we're going to be baptizing people, right? And usually when we're going to baptize, I usually take off my watch and maybe I might give it to somebody to hold, right? I'll give somebody to hold. So say I take my watch off and I give it to Justin. And so after I baptize people, you give me the watch back. Now, would your heart be grieved because you gave me a watch? No, because it was what? It was my watch, right? Yeah, I'll gladly give it back. He's not grieved. But what if you heard the Holy Spirit right now say, give him your watch? Well, then you're like, that must not be the Holy Spirit, right? Devil, get out of my head, right? I mean, that's what we do. I tell you what, we do that. But you're okay. I heard you, Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you the watch. Well, that's what he's saying. Don't be grieved. Understand, I mean, it's his watch. It's his watch. Scott Danko's here. Can I speak on you, brother? It's a little late. Scott cracks me up. Scott, nothing gets by Scott. I remember I preached one time about my truck. I got my Ford pickup truck. And I talked about, you know, it's Jesus' truck. I lend it to whoever wants to use it, right? I just, you know, it's his truck, right? Whoever wants to use it. So I love Scott. He's a sharp guy. And so he just down the road, I don't know, a few weeks later, he need to use my truck. He goes, hey, is Jesus' truck available? I love that. He caught what I was trying to teach. He's caught what he's trying to teach, right? It's all his. And what a good way, that's a good way to think. Hey, it's all his stuff. It's available. It's available. Here's the third thing regarding really developing that generous heart is we do need to develop a generous heart. Remember, he warned him, don't be selfish, don't be a tightwad. Right? Don't be grievous. In other words, don't feel bad that you've given. Even if God calls you to give it all away, don't be grievous that you've given it away. The third thing is we have to develop a generous heart. Look at verse 14. You shall supply him. Once again, he's talking about the ex-slave, right? The one you're releasing. You shall supply him how? Liberally, generously, from your flock, from your threshing floor, and from your wine press. Right, so he's like giving him, he says, man, give him some good livestock, give him some good grain, send him away with a nice bottle of wine. I mean, provide for, you know, Lord, he's my ex-slave, right? What's the matter? See, the Lord's saying, I want to develop a generous heart in you because that's the heart that I have. See, aren't you glad God doesn't treat us the way we ought to be treated? Can I get an amen from somebody? If so, but he's generous to me and I don't deserve it. He's forgiving to me and I don't deserve it. He's kind and merciful to me, gracious to me. I don't deserve any of those things. But he says, you know, I want to make you more like me. And part of that is I'm going to teach you how to have a generous heart. So he says, supply liberally from your flock, your threshing floor, from your winepress, from what the Lord your God has blessed you. Once again, he says, don't lose perspective. This is not all your stuff. You think it's your stuff. You're like, mine. No, it's not mine. Right? He says, it belongs to me. From what the Lord your God has blessed you, you shall give to him. Lord says, don't just give, but be generous, right? It's like this, we're born selfish, but Scripture says we're born again, right? We're born anew. We're born again. We're born again to be generous people. You know, and that applies at home. That applies at work. You know, I see this going on at work. I sometimes see people at work not being very generous. In other words, you can tell a generous individual. A generous individual is committed to you. In fact, they're committed to really moving you up the chain, as it were. Right? They're like, you know, I'm committed to you moving up the company, even at my expense. In other words, I'm going to always be speaking about John. Man, John's the best. John's the smartest. Man, you should promote him. People don't do that. They're looking out for themselves, right? And the Lord said, no, you don't need to be that way. He goes, I got you covered. I'll move you up the food chain, as it were, right? I'll move you up the food chain. Don't worry about that. He said, you can be generous and speak well of everybody around you. Speak well about them. You know, take somebody under your wing. I remember this guy, and you don't know who he is. I'm going to try to figure out his last name. When I first started my career, he was Armenian. His last name was like Dukmejian, something like that. But when I started my career, he took me under his wing. He taught me everything he knew. I mean, this guy was sharp. Taught me everything he knew. You know, and sure enough, I moved up. Right? He wasn't concerned about that. He wasn't concerned, well, I better not teach Carlos all my secret stuff, right? All my secret skills. Right? I'm going to be a ninja, but keep it to myself. I mean, he didn't do that. And Lord says, we can't be that way. We got to be a generous people. Here's the third one, the fourth one, excuse me. And that is we have to develop a grateful heart. A grateful heart. Now, how does that happen? Look at Deuteronomy 15:15. Spory's good at that, and I'll explain to you in a little bit, Spory. It says, you shall remember that you were a what? Slave. Don't ever forget where the Lord found you. Don't ever forget where he brought you from. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you, bought you out of the slave block. Therefore, I command you this thing today. He says, don't ever forget where you were. Don't ever forget that if I wouldn't have saved you, if I wouldn't have redeemed you, if I wouldn't have bought you back, where you would have been. See, a lot of times we think, well, I would have turned out good. No, you're already deceived if you think that. I would have turned, you know. No. When Billy Graham is interviewed, one of the interviews that I love, when he was interviewed on national television, and they asked him, do you have any regrets? And he said, I just have one. They're like, well, Billy Graham has regrets? He said, yeah, I have one. What's that regret? He goes, I wish I would have sinned less. I'm like, oh my gosh. If that's Billy Graham, then what am I? See? But that's the truth. He said, the closer I get to God, the more I realize that I'm a sinner. And so the Lord is telling the nation of Israel, and he tells us this, don't forget where you came from. That way you will always be gracious. Oh, Lord, I can't believe where you brought me from. I can't believe what you've done for me and through me and in me. See? You know, that really hit me. I got saved really right out of high school. And I lived in a community that loved to drink. Man, we used to drink. We were a farming community, and we were good at drinking. Man, name the drink, name the drugs, we did it, right? But there's a downside to that, that within, before I even got out of college, so we're talking within 3 years, 4 years, 10 of my classmates had died on alcohol-related accidents. 10, I'm like, that's a lot, see? Well, you know what? It easily could have been 11, easily. I could tell you stories of driving from one end of Fresno to the other and having no recollection many, many times. And then all over the valley and having no recollection. And so I'm forever grateful, and I never want to forget where he found me. And so the Lord said, if you remember where I found you, you will never look down on anybody. You never will. But you're going to be generous. You'll always be generous because you'll remember. The more grateful you are, the more generous you will be. So I want to close with this. I want to ask that as we pray, you ask the Lord a serious question. Lord, will you examine my heart? Examine my heart. Lord, am I deceived in the sense that I think it's all mine? Am I a hoarder? Have I taken what you've given to me and I'm like, I'm just holding on? If so, Lord, will you forgive me, number one? And number two, Lord, will you allow me to be generous in all ways and in all circumstances? And maybe you're here, you're like, you know, I'm actually a generous person, right? I give to the church. I mean, I'm a generous person. I help people out all the time, any opportunities I can. Maybe tonight what you would say, Lord, give me even more opportunities, right? Put people in front of me that I can be kind to and generous to. Well, let me be generous to people at work. Let me invest in other people's careers at work that they might advance, and my trust is in you, Lord, that you'll take care of me so I can promote everybody else. I can promote people around me because you'll take care of me. Let's pray. And Steve, come on up. We're going to also do baptism. So if you're going to get baptized, feel free to sneak out when we're praying to get yourself ready. Heavenly Father, we do. We come right now. And we would say, Lord, will you examine our hearts? Examine our hearts. Lord, if there's any way in us, Lord, that's not generous, if there's any way in us that has withheld that which you have given to us, Lord, will you change our hearts? Change our hearts. Lord, test us. Test us. Lord, we don't want to be like Israel that learns the hard way by going into captivity. We don't want to be those that it all collapses on us because we were disobedient. But we want to be a people that are blessed, and it begins in the heart. In the name of Jesus, amen, church. Amen. Let's stand up and worship the Lord while we get ready for baptism. Yeah.